Okay, guys, let's just wrap this thing up for today anyway. You guys doing good? Yeah? You know, honestly, I say it, and I say it kind of fun-loving sometimes, but there's a real serious side to it. You know, we've done well to take a lot of things personal in our life, but it would do us good to really take the gospel personal and say, man, he did this for me. This is the truth about me. As an individual, it's not wrong. When I got saved, I didn't pray for anybody or anything for about 5 weeks. It's the truth. Spirit of God had me in a shut-up place where I was just alone. And I honestly, I didn't pray for my marriage, which was seemingly ruined or shattered. And I didn't pray for leaders, people, my kids. I didn't pray for anything. For 5 weeks, he had me shut up in this place where I could be formed in Christ, where I could become the man that he created me to be. And at times it almost seemed like, is this a selfish place? But the mandate on my heart was so big that it was so important for me to become what he paid for so that I could see everything else rightly. Does that make sense? So that's where he had me for like 5 weeks. I just stayed in a bedroom as much as I could. Now my marriage was in a place where it was actually kind of easy. I didn't have the same marital responsibilities or things there because we weren't really together. But I worked second shift, and I didn't go in until 4:30 in the afternoon. I worked till 2:30 at night. So I'm not joking. I would get up in the morning for that five-week period. Now, I had the total schedule to do this, but I would get up at 5:30 and I didn't have to go to work till 4:30. I would just wake up in him, just talking, praying, thanking. I'd go down, use the restroom or whatever I had to do, brush my teeth or whatever. And I'd run back up and I couldn't wait to get back in the room. And I'd shut the door and I'd turn on a little CD of music or piano. And I had a couple of things that meant something to me in that season. I pulled them out of the archives. I found them in a box not long ago. It was a mess. My wife came home from the grocery store and I had been playing all these things. I actually found an old, you guys even know what a cassette tapes were? So I found some of them. I was playing. I was sitting there bawling and crying. Ah! My wife came in and said, whoa, you're having a time. I was like, ah! It just was a bedroom experience. But I would literally do this because you know how you think you should be doing something else, or you look at time and you say, oh, I probably should go out now or whatever. I literally turned my clocks against the wall where I couldn't see the time. For 5 weeks, I would just turn the clocks and I would just camp out in the room with the Lord and just seek him and read and pray. And I'd read and I'd talk to him and probably get into some of that this week while I'm here, probably on our wrap-up time. Maybe I feel like we might get there, because that kind of communion is vital to our lives. Hearing about him, learning about him, reading about him is one thing. Knowing him is a whole nother thing. Yeah? Like, you don't want to just read your Bible so you can preach a sermon. You want to read your Bible to know him. And in that season is where I really got to know the Lord at some level, and I began to find myself in him. And my life was so dramatically changed, and I didn't realize how changed it was, but everybody around me noticed. I mean, it was ridiculous. Like, I was 4 weeks saved. I would take my kids over to the public swimming pool, and people would come up to me nonstop and say, man, what's going on with you? What happened to you? And I'm like, what do you mean, what happened? You're just a totally different guy than I remember. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? And it was just because of the way I carried myself, loving my kids, and actually had joy on my face. I mean, some people are like, they think you're delusional if you have joy on your face. Like, you can't be living life and have joy, you know? And they were at the pool asking me, and I begin to tell people and share people. I'm not kidding you. I was probably 6 weeks into going to the pool, 4 to 6 weeks. And I would sit down in my blanket and set up my stuff and usually jump in the pool with the kids for a while and throw them around and play. I gave them this thing we called dolphin rides. And then I'd go up and sit in my blanket, and it wasn't long. People come up, hey, can I pull up my towel and just talk with you? Hey, do you mind? And I'm not joking. I'm at the public pool. I'm like a month saved, 6 weeks saved. I got people all around my towel. And I'm like, in reality, chronologically, I mean, I'm a little baby Christian, I guess. But they saw I had something to give, and they were gleaning on my life. And I'm sitting there sharing. People, I remember this one guy sitting, he's tapping this guy. He says, see a pastor. See, I was 1 month old in the Lord. See a pastor. I'm like, hey, I just got saved. And it's just neat. And you know what that was from? They saw my life was changed. They saw me for 2 years coming there with my kids to the pool, but now I came with Jesus. This is gonna be hard for some of you to grasp, maybe because it's all right to talk about him to people, right? But it wasn't that I said anything to him about Jesus in that setting. I just showed up at the pool with my kids and they saw I was different. And they said, what is going on? You see what I'm saying? I didn't go there and preach to nobody. I just preached with my life. And in 4 weeks, I had people sitting all around my towel. I can't tell you how many people I prayed for at the pool. It was a lot. It was just fun. So that's why we talk like this, because we live sanctified without biting our lip trying, amen? We wake up in the morning and realize we've become a part of him and he's in us and we're in him and the kingdom is what we're a part of, and we're righteous, we're redeemed, we have reason for being and purpose and motive, and we're here to shine. And it just gets big in you and you don't lose sight of that. Watch. That right there, look what that would do, just going to work, how that would challenge and convict your life. Just going to work where you get familiar, where you've taken kind of a shape and form and expression at work, and now these truths start growing in your life and everything starts shifting and changing without you trying to make change. It's just because you see different. You have a different conviction. You're aware of things now. Who knows you can't make up for where you've been? Who knows even on your job, if you've not represented him well and all of a sudden you take these things into your heart and you begin to change, who knows that it's not about making up for lost time? It's not about where you've been. It's about where you're going, right? Watch what I've learned. Like, I lived a mess the whole time I worked on my job. But when I went in there saved, it was so noticeable that in about 6 months, they totally forgot about the first 13 years. So for a while, they tried to hold on to the 13 years. But after a certain point, I was so changed that they didn't even see the last 13 years because this is all they could see. And then the rest of that time was very evangelistic. I actually had people coming to me and asking me for counsel, for prayer, opening up secrets about their marriage, asking me what I think they should do. I remember in the back aisle one time, a guy came up, and these guys that persecuted me openly as a group, but then alone crying out because they saw I was changed. I had so much fun at work. I had a guy come up behind the rail dock in the back, and we were, it's pretty private back there. You don't have to go back there much, but he saw me ride back for some items, and he come rolling back, and he said, he's a little embarrassed in the hall, and he said, can you take me out that side door and just lay hands on me and pray for me? I said, what? Because I didn't even know he knew to lay hands on and pray. And here he told me that he grew up in church and he was so backslid and my life was a constant daily conviction and he felt like he couldn't get back to God and he just wanted freedom, and he saw Jesus in me every day, and he's like, could you just lay hands on me and pray? Because he was crying out because he knew the truth deep down in his heart but felt too far away to get to it. And I simplified things, and then I laid hands on him and prayed fire. And can I tell you a cool story about work? This lady who just went through a bad thing with her husband, she grew up in church. She let her heart get hurt by her hubby, and she became kind of in the natural, a statistic of divorce, and she changed. You could tell it hit her hard. She changed emotionally. She was frustrated a lot. She carried the pain of her situation in her everyday life. You follow what I'm saying? But she was a Christian her whole life, and she would have told you she was a Christian, and she was still attending church. And when she saw me get saved, it so confronted her and convicted her that she began to change. And one day she was in the aisle work, and she had an abscessed tooth, and it was getting so bad. And she called her dentist, and he said, listen, that's nothing to mess with. And you know, they tell you like some kind of horror story. They're trying to help you in the natural. Like, that stuff could get in your bloodstream and go to your brain. He was telling her, you know, if it's that swollen and hurting, you need to get in here. So she goes up to the office and tells them that her dentist said she needs to get in there right away so they could do something with this tooth because it's dangerous. She turns, she gets her permission to go. She's gonna go clock out. And she doesn't think she's coming back that day. So she's heading to the time clock. This is a fun story. She goes, I'm back working. I'm working hard. It's a hard job. I'm lifting. I'm sweating. I'm working, probably singing, probably because people would just watch me through the racks. Because they said, you're always talking to yourself. I said, I have never talked to myself. They said, yes, you do. You're just talking to yourself. I said, I'm not talking to myself. Not guilty of that. There's somebody with me. And he'll never leave me or forsake me, and he's always there. And I talk to him a lot. Out loud, when I'm driving, I talk to him. I talk to him all the time. I whisper, I talk. If I'm around people, I try not to be too distracted, but I'm aware of him in my life. So I'm there working. She gets this idea. This is before she's really, this was like a turning point for her. But a lot of her childhood upbringing and a lot of scriptures were pressing on her because of my life. And she was hurt and living hurt and divorced. And she said, you know what? Because she had actually prayed and asked the Lord to touch her too situation. And she said, you know what? She said, I know that man's walking with God. I know he's filled with God. This had nothing to do with me or faith. It just had her to do perceiving God in my life. So I'm working. I don't even know what's going on. This lady is... She's a black sister. She could get expressive too. I mean, we did prayer meetings together. She was hallelujah. She come running. She's 6 feet, probably one. And she was a big frame woman. I turned and she's coming right at me. She's on a mission. She looks distressed, but she looks serious, and I don't know what's going on. And I'm like, hey. She grabs my hand. I'm not exaggerating one bit. She grabs my hand. I have no idea what's going on. I'm like, what are you? And she puts it on her cheek and she goes, and I immediately perceived the anointing of God. It felt like energy, water, electricity, whatever, just going into her jaw. And she's going, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. She began to vibrate, and she started doing this thing all back. And I was like, what's going on right now? I was being used. I felt being used. I didn't even know what was going on. She starts crying and weeping, and I'm thinking, this is amazing. I could tell the Lord was there. I mean, she went into a Pentecostal expression that was... beautiful. She needed it. You know what I mean? It's good. And I said, I just was being funny with her. I said, you and the Lord mind letting me in on what's going on right now? And she said, I was leaving and I perceived and I realized, and she's telling me the story, and I'm like, wow. It was just her faith made a draw on God, but that whole experience, God completely healed her abscess tooth in the aisle when she took my hand and put it on her, and I had no idea what was happening. I just, like I said, I was used. And that moment convicted her and brought her back to Jesus in a very powerful way. Isn't that awesome? And there was another girl, and then nine more guys, two girls and nine guys came out of the woodwork, and the nine guys, I'm not being rude, cynical about them, turned out nine guys that went to church every Sunday with their families because their wives wanted them to. And when I found out they went to church, I'm not being rude, I was astounded. I couldn't even picture them in church because they were just another guy that I worked with. Just as vulgar, just as nasty, you know, reading all the porn mags in the hallway. And they went to church every week with their families because they were supposed to and expected to. And they came out of the woodwork and said, you're living something different than we've known. And we have convictions in our life because of you. And then the bosses left us do a prayer gathering time, and all were invited. But I had 11 people coming and sharing and teaching and praying and believing God. And now watch these men come alive inside. Isn't that beautiful? And stop being religious and living in deception and feeling bad about themselves and two-faced and double lives. You know what I mean? To where their families began to reap the fruit of Christ. How'd all that happen? Not because I went in there and preached a message. I went in there changed, and they saw my life. People honestly don't really care a whole lot about what you have to say if they can't see what you're saying in your life. Now, in a pass by on the street, they don't have time, and you just still got to go with Jesus and trust grace. But on your job, that's one of your greatest mission fields, guys. Around your family, that's where you live consistent. Yeah? It's where you go to work and you're not going to do a job. You're going to shine. And you're going to do your work unto the Lord. And men are going to see him in your life because he's in there. Come on, this is just important. So why am I doing this? Because of what I'm about to read. I only got 14 minutes left. Use 16 of it pretty quick. Yeah, I know. I'm happy. So Ephesians 3, we covered that pretty thorough, didn't we? So Ephesians 4 isn't really chapter 4. It's actually all the same letter. So like if you pull out the 3, 4, and 5, it's just one big letter. So we made chapters. When it got translated, they put them chapters in there. But he said, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, after revealing this revelation that he was anointed to make all see God's plan, God's purpose, knowing his love, able to do exceeding abundantly by the power that works in us. He's going to make known his manifold wisdom. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And then he starts the next sentence off, I therefore. What he's saying is, I'm personally beseeching you. I'm crying out to you and exhorting you in light of what I just said, in light of what I just revealed through Christ or through Holy Spirit, I'm crying out to you. So what he's doing is he's saying, I'm writing in light of this truth. Do you get that? It's very important that you read your Bible in context like this. He says, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. Look what he says. To walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. You say, well, I'm trying to figure out my calling. That's why I'm at this school. I just read your calling. Yeah? I can show you your calling in 1 Peter chapter 1. Or chapter 2, like verse 19, 20. 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, if you suffer for doing good and take it patiently, it's commendable before God. For to this you were called. Everybody says, I want to know my calling. You're called to suffer for doing good and never let your good change because of the suffering. Why? Because then your motive's pure. And then your motive's really love. If you do things to get things, you'll respond according to what you get. If you do things just because it's who you are, it'll never change. So if you love somebody to get loved back by them, your love's conditional, and it's just emotional expression to get something in return. Honestly, I'm not trying to be so unromantic, but I'm not a real romantic this way because we've been so seduced by Hollywood and romance. Most relationships are hinged on what I can get out of it instead of what I give to it. Most relationships are, I love you, do you love me? And if the you loving me doesn't come back in the way that I need, we got a problem. Are you following me? Because I love you doesn't say, do you love me? It just says, I love you. If God came to us and said, I love you, do you guys love me? We'd have probably given him reason to be pretty insecure by now. But his love never changes or fails. Why? Because he's selfless. He doesn't seek his own. He loves you to bring the best out of who he is in you. And he'll never change his mind. And on your darkest day, he didn't lose sight of the truth that he created you for. And he never, ever changed his mind. Yeah? On your darkest day, on your most willful venture. And then the devil says, well, you knew better. Well, you were supposed to know better. You were already a Christian. Well, how can you? And then all of a sudden, some of these scriptures that are so misinterpreted come flying into your mind. And next thing you know, there's the devil again, just trying to keep you in a heap of condemnation and keep you backslid and keep you like you have no hope. Whenever you feel like you have no hope, that's a sure sign you're being deceived, because he's the God of all hope. So all of a sudden, the enemy's tricked you into getting your eyes off of who he is, so you can't see yourself clear. Now you're just caught up with facts. And you'll become an emotional being without a revelation. Are you with me? So what's the first thing he says? Walk worthy of the calling to which you were called. So is walking this life out, I'll just set us up for tomorrow because I'll be out of time. Is walking this life out important? So does this life have an action to it? So we're not saved by our works, right? But guess what? We'll be judged by our works. In other words, what a man really sees, what a man really believes, and what a man really has become will be revealed by the way he's lived his life. There's no way around that. Your life lived reveals the faith you live by. Are you with me? The Bible says we'll all stand before him and be judged for our works. Are you with me? What's he saying? You know them by their fruits. So what he's saying is what a man has really become will be seen through the way he conducts his life. Now, what we have to make sure that when we teach something like this, that we don't teach legalism, bite your lip, you need to try harder, do better, we'll shape up, we'll knock it off. We ain't supposed to be angry. We got to teach people how to walk free from these things, what it means to put off anger, what it means to not just lust after one another in a relationship and live in fantasy and need to get something from someone, even if we don't have a covenant, when those feelings are real and we've grown up with them. I wonder if the gospel's not trying to find a way to harness them and manage them, but a way to destroy them, to bring the new and the real and the true into your life. I wonder if the gospel's all about change, new creation, old things pass away, all things new. I wonder if I'm not the man I used to be. I wonder if I'm not just trying to be different. I wonder if I'm not the man I used to be. Wonder if I'm not waking up trying not to do bad things and focusing on good things. Wonder if I'm just a changed man. That's Christianity. It's actually what I want to talk to you strongly about in the school this week, and how we can walk in a manner worthy without feeling like we're failing and without being condemned in the process of being changed. Would that be helpful if we just focus on that for a little while, like tomorrow? I feel like we'll just camp on that. And we'll just read these out, and this is just so liberating. And I could take you to a lot of sections, but I feel like the Lord compelled me to do it this way right here. So, okay, let me just finish this, and I'm going to close in prayer. I even got 7 minutes left on the clock, but really I've used my time. Let's watch this. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, that means patience, look at this, bearing with one another in love. What's he mean? Don't let people get on your nerves and get under your skin. Stop letting your preferences be Lord. We just don't realize the preferences we've acquired in life, where we like certain personalities, don't like certain personalities. I mean, we get so vain sometimes and so shallow that we'll just look at a book and read it by the cover. We'll judge it by the cover. We'll be like, I just don't like her. I just don't like the way she's acting. Well, yeah, I just think she has attitude. And all of a sudden, we think we got people figured out, and we're deciding, we're passing them through our test. That's a sign of needing to die. It's not normal. God never made you that way. It's a way we became through Adam. Time to get born again. Because it's self-righteous, it's proud, and it's making your preferences Lord. It's running everyone through your thing. Are you with me? So here's what we do. We bear with one another. Why? Because we understand we're all learning and growing and molding into Christ. So if I just get tricked into letting where people aren't decide where I am, I'm just the same. You follow me? Okay. So I'll close with this one. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we'll close there. That's going to come in handy and be important, because that's what he's talking about immediately here in this chapter. So we're going to walk worthy of the calling in lowliness, gentleness, with long suffering, and we're going to bear with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. So we're going to keep the unity of the Spirit. We're going to have life in the Spirit. We're going to live by the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're going to walk in the life and peace of the Spirit. Amen? And there's a bond of peace in the unity of the Spirit. So I'm going to close there. I'm going to pray over you guys. And yeah, we'll just be done. And I think I actually have another group yet today. So yeah. So Father, we just right now, we just thank you that this is true. I'm just asking you in these next couple of days, Lord, just really, really asking with all my heart that you would establish these life changes by grace in us as individuals, where everyone in this room would so enjoy who they're becoming in you and so enjoy growing up into you in all things. I pray there'd be no strain, no struggle. I pray there'd be no uncomfortable, old feelings of shame, condemnation. I thank you we can talk freely in the next couple of days and come out of this thing so clean and so inspired and just so ready to walk more in you. Thank you that it's possible. Thank you that you are able to do abundantly above. And it's through the power working in us. Your grace is with us. You're with us. You have loved us. You have not cast us off. Thank you for your unfailing love. So I ask for this grace, Lord God, that individually each student would see themselves through your eyes and begin to walk in the grace of change in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you. Bless you.